The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Karen Robard, she's back. She has a brand new book. It's called The Last Kiss Goodbye. Karen, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I am glad to be here.
This book now a little different than books that I've read from you before, but this is pretty much the second book in maybe a series?
Yes, this is, the first book was The Last Victim. This is The Last Kiss Goodbye. And what it is, it's a thriller with paranormal aspects. I really like it. It's pretty much what I've always done with ghosts.
Well, how did you come up with the idea of maybe adding the supernatural?
I meant to write a straight thriller series. It's about a woman who is a psychiatrist. As a young girl, she was the sole survivor of a serial killer attack. So she grew up to study serial killers. So I had her in prison. Well, she's not in prison. She's the prison psychiatrist. She's studying the serial killers. And she's in there, and so she's conducting this research, and this serial killer is sitting there, and she's interacting with him. And the FBI comes and asks her to help them find a serial killer, boardwalk killer, who is out there killing young girls. So she agrees to it. And while she's going back to her office, they take the serial killer back to his cell, and he gets killed. Well, she goes and tries to save his life, and he just took over the book. He comes out of his body. I mean, he's killed, but his ghost comes out of his body and attaches to her. So she's stuck with the ghost of a serial killer while she's trying to find serial killers. I had such a good time with it. I really had fun. It's a thriller, and it's scary. But it's very funny, too. I had a good time.
As a psychiatrist, now I think that your protagonist here is Charlie?
Yes. She's a girl. Charlotte.
Charlotte. And known as Charlie?
Yes, Charlie.
Okay. And, you know, she would almost need a psychiatrist herself if people knew what she saw. Huh?
Oh, and nobody knows because she's a professional. So she doesn't tell anyone that she can see the recently dead. The recently violently dead Charlie can see for about a week. But she can't tell anybody because they would think she was a couple spark plugs short of an engine. So it's something she keeps to herself, but it helps her when she's looking for serial killers because she can talk to the victims. Of course, they're not always straightforward saying, oh, it was John over there. But they tell her what they know.
The Last Kiss Goodbye, your brand new book. I mean, you've written quite a few books already in your short life,
I should say. Very short life.
And how has this book evolved from maybe the very first books that you wrote? This one here, when you get into it, bam, right there, you're right into it.
Well, that actually, I've always written that way. Once you start, you are catapulted along for a ride. But the first book I wrote, of course, I was so young. But it was a historical romance because that's what was selling at the time. And I wrote it as a class project, actually. But at the time, which was in the early 1980s, historical romances were all you could sell. You couldn't sell thrillers or contemporary romances because nobody would buy them. And it sort of evolved. And paranormal came in about 2000. And most people, when they say paranormal, think vampires. I don't do vampires. Haven't yet. Never say never. But they're very, very popular. Twilight, that whole thing. So we've got thriller with paranormal.
So The Last Kiss Goodbye, did you talk to people in that industry, people that maybe will come to your house, maybe exorcise a ghost, maybe stand in front of people and say, you know, this is what I see. I see your dearly departed beside you.
Actually, I talked to some mediums. I went to a medium. She was actually very interesting. My father had passed away not long before I started writing this book. Of course, she, as far as I know, didn't know who I was because I used a fake name. Didn't know, well, you know, you can't use your own name because it just messes things up. Didn't know my father had died, but she asked me if somebody had recently passed in my family. Said she saw a man standing behind me and said several things that were very accurate. I mean, I don't know if it was the kind of standard thing she always said, but it was very accurate. So that was interesting. And I went to a John Edward seminar, which was also interesting. I mean, it was interesting. I've done some research on it. It was interesting. Is it true? I don't know, but it's interesting.
Did she pick up on your fake name?
No, but she did. She did see a shelf of books, and she said she saw success for me as a writer. And she said, I just want to let you know, I see a shelf full of hardcover books with your name on it. And she was surprised that that didn't excite me more. But she did pick up on that. Of course, my picture's on the back of the book, so you never know for sure. But yeah, she got quite a bit. She was not wrong about anything, and she was very right about something. So who knows?
Tell me a little bit about Michael and The Last Kiss. Goodbye.
I love Michael. Michael is a convicted serial killer. He was convicted of killing 7 women. And he's very smart alecky, very funny. And he is the convict who gets killed by another inmate at the beginning of the book. And then he comes back in, and he doesn't want to be dead. He doesn't want to go to wherever it is he's supposed to go, which he figures is probably not a good place. So he attaches to Charlie and says, I'm not going. And she spends a lot of time trying to send him on his way because it's scary to have the ghost of a serial killer attached to you. But he's a wonderful character. I love Michael. Everybody loves Michael. Well, not everybody. A few people have a problem with him being a convicted serial killer. But see, that's part of the series. We have 3 story plots. We have Michael's. We're going to try to solve what actually happened in Michael's life to have him wind up being a convicted serial killer. Then we have the serial killer of the book that we are solving. Then we have Charlie and Michael's and Tony Bartoli's relationship and how that evolves. So that's what the series is.
If I didn't know any better, The Last Kiss Goodbye, I would have thought was the very first book that you wrote, even if it was going to be a series. How tough is that to do? I mean, usually if you've written one book, it's kind of hard sometimes to get into the next book.
Well, this is actually, well, I won't say, it's the first series I've done. It's not hard at all. The characters, especially Michael in these books is very strong for me. So it just pulls you right into it. You start with their interaction and then you just go from there. It's not, I don't have any trouble making it fresh and real so far. We'll see.
So the first series that you've done ever,
yes,
since, well, you've been writing.
I did Island, Flame, and Sea Fire. That was a sequel to the, those were my first two books. It was a sequel, but it wasn't supposed to be a series. And I have done the Banning Sisters trilogy, but those were 3 separate characters, not the same characters throughout. And I did Pursuit and Justice, which were the same 2 characters. But as far as a long-running series, I hope this is a long-running series. We'll see. It's selling well. We'll see.
It should be. I mean, it's a great book to read.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I had
easy
a good
to
time.
Get into.
I had a good time. I really like those characters. They grabbed me. This occasionally it happens. I wrote a blog just 2 days ago. It's called When Characters Happen. The character of Michael Garland, the dead serial killer, grabbed me, and I could hear him and see him, and I could write this series. I mean, he has pulled it through because he is in my head, and I can hear him and see him, which is a great thing for a writer. It doesn't happen often.
Well, Charlie's trying to help Michael stay out of hell, I guess.
Yeah.
Michael has already helped her live at least once, and I think it's going to happen maybe again, and who knows, maybe again in this book or the next book. You'll have to read on here to find out. But, you know, as a ghost, you can only stay on Earth so long, can't you?
Well, who knows? I mean, who knows the rules for ghosts? Charlie usually can only see them for 7 days. But she knows some people. She knows some people. And they have helped her keep Michael around a little longer. Plus, most ghosts want to go on to the hereafter. Michael does not want to go. He's been there. He doesn't like it. He says, heck no, I'm not going.
You know, Charlie says, go into the light at one point in the book, The Last Kiss Goodbye. Now, if that were me, and I kind of believe this in a sense, that if you're a bug and you're flying around this bright thing, isn't it just a bright light and then you get to it and zap, you're zapped?
Well, now that's just cynical. We like to think that the bright light is a door and you'll go through it and you'll be taken gently to a better place.
Let's hope that's the case.
Michael now might think he'd get zapped. But most people wouldn't. And Michael might get zapped. He hasn't stepped into the light.
Well, you know, Karen, let's talk about the very first book in the series. Give us a little bit of a flavor on that and how the book actually begins.
The Last Victim is the first book, and it starts out with Charlie as a 17-year-old, and she is the first line. I love the first line. It is, if Charlie Stone hadn't drunk the Kool-Aid, she would have died, which just made me laugh when I wrote it. It just came to me. And what had happened is she was 17, and she went to a party, and she didn't ever drink, but all the cool kids were drinking, so she drank Kool-Aid laced with vodka. So she got sick, so she had to go throw up in her friend's bathroom. While she was throwing up in her friend's bathroom, the whole family got murdered. Whoops. Well, she came out in time to try to save her friend, but she couldn't do it. And that was how Charlie became so interested in serial killers. It was a serial killer, and she missed him. You know, she was in the bathroom. She grew up knowing that they were out there and used her knowledge to become an expert on them because she wanted to see how they ticked. And then she was in prison, and she was studying serial killers, and Michael, unfortunately, got killed in front of her. And so that's how she got Michael, and an FBI team came, and the serial killer who had attacked her friend's family was still on the loose, and he was back. So they asked her to help find him. And that's what happens in The Last Victim. It was a good book. I enjoyed The Last Victim. It's hard to be funny when you're doing serial killers and mass murder, but it was very funny writing it. I enjoyed it.
You know, it seems kind of like a great hook. You're drunk, you go to the bathroom, and you can't come out, and everybody's
dead. Well, you know, you'd think that's just my luck, but that was a good thing. You know, but yeah, she never drank. She went to the bathroom. She was throwing up in the pot. She kept hearing all this noise. She came out, and uh-oh. But if she had not drunk the Kool-Aid, she would have been right there with him.
Now, you know, in The Last Kiss Goodbye, we open up with Michael. We see him on the sofa. Charlie's there. I'm not even realizing he's a ghost yet.
Oh, see, you didn't read the last
book. I didn't read the last book. Yeah. That's why I'm saying it was so easy to get into it.
Yeah.
After you get through that, and it's like, oh, it's a ghost. It's like a whole new room opens up to you, which I thought was kind of cool.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to pick up on it that easily. It's always when you do the first book, and people know what has happened because The Last Victim ended like 5 minutes before The Last Good Kiss Goodbye picks up. I mean, right there, Michael had been gone and Charlie didn't know if she'd ever see him again. So when he's on her couch, she's very happy. But, well, sort of happy. I mean, are you happy to see a serial killer ghost? But, you know, she knows what happened to him anyway.
He's pretty buff, too.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good looking guy. He's a good looking serial killer. Well, if he is, we'll see. But, yeah, it starts right afterwards, and I was hoping people would be able to read it as a standalone if they haven't read the first one. Apparently, people are able to, is what they've been saying.
So, with your first book in this series, when you stopped it right when you did, sounds to me like it was almost a soap opera, and you have to wait for to find out who
yes.
shot J.R.
Who shot J.R.? Well, you have to see if Michael came back. She turned away and walked into the dark at the end of The Last Victim because she heard somebody in her house. And she thought it might be Michael, but she wasn't sure. And that's where it ended.
So what did your readers say to you, especially when you've been out on tour and they're going like, you know, I've read the end of it. I can't wait for book two.
Yes, that's what they said. Well, some people said, I cannot believe you left me hanging that way. But you know what? That was the end of that story. Charlie had survived this killer. She was with the FBI team. And the ghost that she had been trying to get rid of through the whole book had actually vanished. So she wasn't sure how she felt about that. And so we pick up with her, he's back. So she decides she's glad, I think, to see him, sort of.
She must have a lot in her life because as the book goes on, there's a girl at the door now, because I know there's a ghost in the very beginning of it.
Yes.
There's a girl, a young lady, in her window, and she looks like she's wet and maybe bloody. And I'm wondering if that's a ghost or not. I was just a little bit lost there.
No, she was real. That particular girl was real. She had been attacked by a serial killer, and she came down to Charlie. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but she came down to Charlie for help, and Charlie let her in. But as we progress through the girl and Charlie getting away from the serial killer. There is a ghost in the front hall because Charlie can see the newly violently dead. And this newly violently dead girl comes to say something to the girl who lived. It is a little tricky. You can't tell who is a ghost, except Charlie can only see who the ghosts are.
There you go. Well, that's quite the flavor there of The Last Kiss Goodbye. More in a trilogy, I hope?
I hope it goes for a while. I have signed a contract for 2 more books, and I think it will go for a while. We'll see.
So do you ever see, I don't know if that's a fair question or not, to see if Michael will be leaving and a new ghost will come in to take his place? You haven't thought that far yet.
Yes, I thought that far, and no. No, I don't think so. I mean, there are not that many buff ghosts out there who would attach to Charlie and just kind of hang around. He has a really good reason for not wanting to go anywhere. So, no, I mean, he's a one-off.
Well, maybe you'll have to go, maybe Charlie will have to go to the gym and find those buff ghosts that are working out.
You think they're workout ghosts in the gym?
You never know.
I mean, she can only see them if they've been violently killed for a week. So you know, it's kind of rare.
So why a series like this? You've been known mainly for writing standalone books.
Because I loved these characters, and I'd like to keep them going for a while. I like Charlie. I like Michael. I like the FBI team. I like the premise. And the good thing about it is, I can keep it going for as long as I want to. We'll see. At this point, I'm thinking 6 books, but it may be more. Or it might not be. We'll just see how it goes. I mean, I know how it ends. It's just a matter of getting there.
Known more for romance novels, I think. This thriller, romantic novel anyway, right?
Yes, it's a thriller with romantic. A romantic thriller to be had with paranormal elements. It's really hard to classify.
So what's the challenge of writing a thriller like this as opposed to maybe just a pure romance novel?
Oh, there's a lot. You have to have... There's a crime. You have to solve it. You have to have clues. Plus, it brings out a lot of emotion in the victim, in Charlie, in everyone involved. It's a much more layered thing. I'll tell you what, that is a tricky book to write because you have the romance. You have the horrible murders, and you have to drop clues everywhere and give red herrings. So people might think it's this person, people might think it's that person, but you know who it is. And you have to introduce that person to the reader. And then you've got the action, and I like humor. So you have humor in there too. And then you have the despair, you know, when someone's killed. So it's like Ginger Rogers said to Fred Astaire, "I do everything you do, but I do it backwards and in high heels." Well, the straight thriller novel, I do everything that's in there, except I do it backwards and in high heels. Because you have the romance part, you have the ghost part, you have all the emotion, and you've got the thriller too.
A lot of these books are just like 2 stories kind of woven together into a pattern, and this sounds almost like a braid.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It was a lot to keep straight. But what you do is you get into the head of each character, and you know what that character knows, and you go through what that character goes through. So, you know, Charlie was dealing with all this stuff at the same time, so was I. Which, you know, is fun, especially when you're finished. It's the best time to be a writer, when you finish the book.
As reading this book, The Last Kiss Goodbye, there were parts that would go just so quick. And I would guess as a writer, especially the parts maybe if you're running or you're doing something or being chased or other things, that it would go fast also for the writer.
It does in a way, but quick is hard. You have to go back and you have to edit. You have to watch your word choice, and then you have to use your 5 senses because, again, you're in the character's body. You have to see what she sees, touch what she touches, smell what she smells. You are experiencing her emotions with her, and you have to do it quickly. You can't dwell. So it's kind of a rhythm.
Is that why the book, The Last Kiss Goodbye, comes alive to people?
I hope so. It came alive to me. The characters come alive. There's story, and then there's technique. You try to use your technique to tell your story the best way you can to appeal to the reader and to get them through the book and to make the characters come alive, which I hope I did.
With so many threads in this book, probably so many threads in this series, tell me how you write this. I mean, do you have, like, on your wall a map or something? Do you have a journal? It's all right up in the head.
I do. I have a map, and I have a journal, and I have all kinds of things. I usually can't find them, or the cat's sitting on them. I mean, they are there if I want to take the time to pull them out, but most of it's in my head, and I can usually go without. And I usually do, because you're in the rhythm of the story, and if you stop and go back and look for all this stuff, what you're doing is procrastinating. You know, I can go ahead without most of the time. It's all in my head.
Well, that's quite the talent there, I would think, myself.
But you know the characters. The character's there, and you know what she knows, or he knows, whichever character whose head you're in.
But three books.
Yeah.
That's a lot of books.
That's a lot of books. We'll see. I mean, I haven't had any trouble keeping it straight yet. But you never know. What you have to do, I'll tell you the trick here, you have a serial killer in each book. Well, you have to have a different kind of serial killer in each book. This is the trick here, is their MO, their method of operation, their personalities, how she comes across them and how she figures it out. The serial killer is the trick.
So in each book, do you introduce a new serial killer that you bring into the next book? How is that working?
Usually, I am thinking of these as sort of like a TV episode. Usually, I try to solve the serial killer case in that book. There may be an ongoing serial killer who comes back. I haven't decided yet. But the fun of it for the reader, you have to let them have some closure. The Charlie Michael thing is not going to have closure. The Charlie Tony thing is not going to have closure. Michael's ongoing did he or didn't he, is he a serial killer thing, it's not going to have closure. So you have to give them closure for something. And the thing that has closure is the serial killer. We solve that each book, I think.
So the serial killers in these books, are these ripped from the headlines of the paper where you're from?
Well, some of them are, but they're usually ripped from my mind. Because there's so many serial killers, you try to be a little different. So you think, what would make this serial killer different? And then Stephen King said this. I read his book on writing. Stephen King's book on writing is wonderful. And it really has resonated with me, this one thing. He said, every character is the star of his or her own story. So to the serial killer, it's all about him. Or, well, they're almost always male. So you have to get into his head and think, why does he want to do this? And who is he? And what has made him this way? So they kind of take over the book, and then you track them down through that. It's a fun way to write them.
Besides the mediums that you've gone to for the research, have you been to prisons, or have you written to prisoners?
Prisoners have written to me. I haven't written back. And to tell you the truth, I've never been to a prison, not inside it. I mean, I've driven past. I wouldn't mind, but I haven't. I've done research. The prison that Charlie is based in is Wallens Ridge in West Virginia. And I did a lot of research on it. I have a drawing of it. I have a map of it. But no, I haven't been inside it. It would be interesting to go inside it.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Homeland Security, it doesn't go to your house and
no.
See these.
No, but it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. Yeah.
All right, The Last Kiss Goodbye. I'm sure that you probably already know where you're going with the next book.
Yes.
Maybe do you have a title or anything for that?
Her Last Whisper.
Her Last Whisper.
Yes, we just came up with that. It was going to be The Last Midnight, and then we decided Her Last Whisper.
Well, Her Last Whisper, that sounds kind of final almost.
Well, so does The Last Kiss Goodbye. I had all kinds of people who were afraid to buy it because they were afraid it was Michael's last kiss goodbye, but no. But we'll see what happens in Her Last Whisper.
Michael, he doesn't live on, but he continues on her.
Good thing about being a ghost, can't kill him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. and you can see right through them, too.
Yeah, you can see right through.
Yeah, so that's awful. All right, now, Karen, let's talk a little bit about your website. I know that you have a website. When we go to that website, tell me where it's at and what can we see.
Well, if you go to KarenRobards.com, there's a list of all my books. There are buy links for most of them. There's a little biography on me. There's a couple of videos, trailers for the books. But where I am now mostly is Facebook. That's where I communicate with people. So I'm on a Karen Robards fan page. I don't know how this happened. I have two Facebook pages. And one I'm never on. And the other is my fan page. And I'm on that two or three times a week, easily, sometimes more. So if you get to one and I'm not on there, wrong page. I don't know how to get it off either. I mean, it just appeared. It's the same thing with Twitter. Do you know I'm on Twitter? But there's already a Karen Robards Twittering. So I have to be the Karen Robards on Twitter. So it's pretty funny, but I'm on Karen Robart's fan page.
When you first started out, there was no such thing as Facebook, no such thing as Twitter. How long have you been on Facebook, and how has that changed life for Karen Robarts?
Well, I have been on Facebook since about 2000, only at first, it wasn't me. My publisher started a Facebook page for me. I didn't actually start posting on Facebook till about 2 years ago, maybe. And I didn't like it at first. I mean, but it's good to be able to talk to your fans and to interact, because I can post something. Actually, I've learned they're very helpful. When I needed a name for a psychic, I posted. I said, people, I need a name for a psychic in this book. And they came up with 150 names. You know, it's actually a very useful thing. You can get immediate feedback, and they're very helpful. I actually have liked Facebook, now that I still can't put pictures on it. I am ashamed to admit. But I write on it, and they write back, and it's very immediate, which is nice. You know, they can ask me a question. I can answer it. It works. And I post what I'm going to be doing. A lot of stuff that I do is actually, to tell you the truth, boring. Because you know what my day is? I get up, I sit down, I write a daggone book. This is really not that exciting. Occasionally I do stuff, but mostly, you know, I'm sitting there writing a book. So I don't bore people with that.
So do you find yourself on Facebook maybe too much, you think?
No. No, I am not on Facebook enough. I'm supposed to be posting every day. But as I said, I can get up.
Who wants to hear about you?
Yeah, well, I'm in my office. Guess what? I'm writing a book. Woohoo! I guess what I'll be doing tomorrow, too.
There you go. And maybe tomorrow we'll be getting another book, The Last Kiss Goodbye. The book right now available at all good bookstores and online by Karen Robarts. Can't wait for that next one.
Her Last Whisper
coming out in maybe just about a year or so. Yes. So you'll have to wait for that. But The Last Kiss Goodbye. Hey, I tell you what, this is a page-turner, and it'll keep you on the edge of your seat. You probably don't want to read it right before bedtime, though. Karen, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I've had a good time.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Karen Robarts, author of her brand-new book, the second in the series, The Last Kiss Goodbye.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.